That's great. Well, let me just share with you a few things about Jesus, and then we'll pray for the sick and see what the Lord wants to do, and share some words for different people and stuff. I just want to share with you a few quite quickly, about 3 or 4 hours. No, it's not. Just about who Jesus is and what he came to do, because it's our faith in him that actually matters. And it's a Christmassy one, because Christmas is coming. And it's just this bit about the visit of the three wise men. And this is where I'm going to start. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by a different way. These three guys, these three wise men who'd been reading the stars for at least 2 years, were led by this star right to the house where Jesus was. That's quite awesome, isn't it? We get excited about sat-nav. But this is way before sat-nav. This is star-nav. This is incredible. I mean, this star, you know, sat-navs work through a satellite. And that seems exciting to us. That finds where you are, doesn't it? And it can just see where you are from there. These guys were, they really were, and we know this scientifically as well, you know, astronomers and people have gone back to that time in history, and they know that on that date, planets lined up and freed the way for a certain light from stars that wasn't there, a massive star that wasn't visible normally, shone at that time. Incredible. I mean, think how long ago that was planned. The light from stars travels millions of light years, isn't it? I mean, that was planned a long time ago. A long time before Jesus was born. Yet this light led them right to the house. I mean, it must have, I don't know how it worked, but it must have shone literally down to the house. I mean, they didn't have the address. It took them to the address. They found the house, which is fantastic. Which, you know, if you're searching for Jesus, you will find him. If you're looking for God, if you're sincere and looking, God has lots of ways of getting you to the right address. To the right address. And that's good to know. And you know what? You've come to the right address tonight. It's Casa J's. It's House of Jesus. That's what Casa means. And like Phil already shared, you know, Jesus is the answer to whatever issues and problems you have tonight. And these gifts that were given to Jesus showed who he was. And knowing who he is and believing it is the answer for your life's problems. It is. The first thing that Jesus was given was gold, which was symbolic of being a king. Gold was the tribute of kings. It was those days. It says of Solomon, the greatest king that ever lived in those days, that he made gold common on the streets of Jerusalem because he received so much tribute. There were so many nations under him, under his authority. And when you're under the authority of a king, you give them gold. That's what you did. You gave them the gold of your nation. You sent it. And you put your money where your mouth is. And you know, that's the first thing that we need to know about Jesus. And you know what? That is the first thing. The first thing Jesus came to do was to reign. He's the rightful Lord and King of this earth. That's what he came to do. This little baby born. That's what Jesus wants to do in your life, in your family, is to actually be in charge. Because guess what? He is the boss. He's the Lord. And when he's in charge, things work. When we're in charge, things don't. When other people are in charge, you're controlled, you're manipulated. When sin is in charge, you're a slave. When Jesus is in charge, you're free. And you're happy and you're peaceful, because Do you know what? It's hard being in charge when you can't do it. It's hard playing God when you're not God. It is. It's stressful. And that's why people break down in life, and why families break down, and why marriages break down, and why relationships break down. Because when we are the center of our own lives and try and be king, we can't do it because we weren't designed that way. We were designed to have help, to have a Lord who is the God who loves us, who's actually Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. He's the King. Someone said Jesus hasn't come to take sides. He's come to take over. And it's true. He's the King. He's the Judge. And kings, there's a couple of things about kings, especially in those days, that are worth noting. First of all, they did the judging. Jesus is our judge. Jesus of Nazareth is going to decide how it goes for you at the end of your days. I don't know whether you know that, but it's worth knowing. And some of us are going to be shocked. We're going to be stood there on the day of judgment and look up, and we're going to be shocked that it's Jesus on the judgment seat. Because some of us have a wrong concept of Jesus, a stained glass image of Jesus, meek and mild. We only ever think about him as our little friend, a little friend who comes in to help and to help. Actually, you only really receive his help when you bow the knee to his lordship and acknowledge him. He's an awesome king. He's the judge of the living and the dead. He said that. He said, my Father has given all the judgment to me, so that everyone honours me like they honour him. And because when someone's going to judge you, you honour them. You know, the boss at work always gets spoken to nicely. Might not seem right. Maybe they don't deserve it. But actually, Jesus does. Jesus does. And he's a Lord and a King, and he has authority. And he's going to judge us at the end of our days. If you're a Christian, he's going to judge you. If you're not a Christian, he's going to judge you for the life you've lived and what you did with him, whether you believed in him or not, whether you trusted him, whether you asked him to save you when you had the opportunity, like tonight. You're going to be judged on that. If you are a Christian, you're going to be judged on what you did after you believed in Christ. The gifts he's given you, you're going to be judged. He's going to ask you what you did with the gifts he gave you. Whether you used them, whether you served him, whether you pleased him, whether you or not. And we're going to be assessed and judged by Jesus. That's a sobering thought, but it's the truth. Each of us has a personal interview with Christ. Personal. You know what? If you can look ahead and think about that, it may change your life. That's what Dickens was getting at in the story of Scrooge, wasn't it? Scrooge. The story, I mean, it wasn't true, but the thing that Scrooge had, the awesome opportunity that we wish we had, is that vision of his own future. If I don't change, that's what will happen to me. If I don't repent, that is what will happen to me. We don't get that privilege. That's why it's more dangerous for us. We can fantasize about it and guess, but if we could see it, we would change our lives. If we could realize this fact, that one day we're going to be judged by Jesus Christ, I think it would change our lives. The other thing kings do is they go to war. They make war. And Jesus came to make war. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Listen to this if you're ill tonight. That's what he came to do. Jesus came to destroy illness, sickness, sin, Satan. He was adamant about it. He was aggressive about it. The first time Jesus got up to preach in a synagogue about this size, they've dug it up. I've had the privilege of standing in it. Awesome privilege. The synagogue in Nazareth. Room about this size. The first time he got up to preach, when he started to preach, someone at the back who had a demon, a churchgoer, screamed out. And the demon spoke through him and said, what have you come? I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? Yes, is the answer. It's a declaration, really, of panic. You have come to destroy us. Yes, you're right, and I'll start with you. And Jesus said, shut up and get out of him. And the Greek word is a really violent word. It means to throttle. He throttled the demon. He got hold of it and shook it and said, get out of him. And it said the man shook, fell on the floor, and they thought he was dead. And then he was free. The man was free. The demon was gone. And the beginning of what Jesus, it was clear what Jesus had come to do. I've come to destroy you, Satan. Everything that afflicts us, Jesus is on our side. Isn't it good? My dad's bigger than your dad. Do you ever get bullied in the playground? I'm going to bully you. I'll tell you when you didn't get bullied, when your older brother was rock hard. You never got bullied then. Do you know something? Sin, Satan, sickness, it has no right to bully us. Because our older brother, Jesus Christ, is bigger than it and has come to bully it. He's come to cast it out. To cast it out. He has. Jesus is an awesome king who's come to destroy the works of the devil. He's come to wage war. And also, Jesus is God. Jesus is divine. And that second gift shows us that. Incense. Incense was the stuff of worship. It was the stuff that filled the temple. Still does in some Greek and Russian Orthodox churches and some very high Catholic churches. Chicking, chicking, chicking. That's them on the fruit machines. No, that's, you know, those little shaky things with the incense, and incense fills. It's a symbol of prayer and worship. You got it in a solid white block that you grated just like cheese over the fire. And it filled the place with smoke and an aroma that was symbolic of the presence of God. Jesus, this little baby in a manger, in a stable, in a cave, so poor, just about to become a refugee. Jesus was given this gift by these men, a very expensive gift. He was given a block, we don't know how big, of incense. And it was symbolic of this worship. It says they bowed down and they worshipped Jesus. And Mary led him. And Joseph led him. Because they knew this is God. This is God's son. We didn't do this. He came from heaven. This is God's son. You know Jesus? He's God's son. Jesus is God. I love that bit in Jesus' trial where, you know, you have the high priest. Jesus is bleeding, beaten up, the prisoner, the convicted, the condemned by them, the spat upon, the tortured. He stood there, weak as weak can be, about to die, stood before his judge. What a laugh. As if. And this big high priest says, I command you in the name of the Lord, tell us if you are the Son of God. And Jesus hasn't said anything all day. He hasn't said anything through loads of different situations. He said nothing. And then he just says one thing, and it's just so awesome. He says, tell us if you are the Son of God, the Son of the Most High God. He said, I am. And you will see me coming on the clouds of heaven, sat at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The next time you see me, pal, I'll be stood there and you'll be stood here. The next time you see me with those very eyes will be the day I judge you. Because Jesus is God. And there's no one else who'll come back seated at the right hand of God. Equal with God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Lord. And, you know, God has become a man. This God, who is he? That he loves us this much? That he become a man? That he enter into our experience? That's the awesome thing about Jesus. Incredible. That God would become a man. Take on himself this irreversible change. I mean, he didn't just zip flesh on, you know. He's still a man tonight. He's a man forevermore. Jesus became a man. Became a man. Didn't just look like a man for a bit to do a task. He became. became a man. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. It's a much bigger step down than if I became an ant. Much bigger. The incarnation, it's called, when God became a man. How much does he want to be near you? How much does he want to experience what we've experienced? The sweat and the blood and the rejection and the pain and the reality of suffering, the reality of human life. God loves us. God is with us. And this is the proof. There's a little lad who went upstairs and he was scared. And he said to his dad, "Dad, can you come upstairs?" And his dad didn't want him. He was watching telly. The dad said, "Oh, you're all right, son. Don't be scared of the dad." He said, "Dad, I'm scared. Please, can you come upstairs?" He said, it was a Christian bloke. He said, "You know, God's with you. God's with your son up there." And the little lad waited a minute and said, "But I'd like someone with skin on." And wouldn't we all? His name's Jesus. He's God with skin on. He's God come so close to us. You know, God's close to you. He cares when you suffer. He stays with you. Get to know him. Worship him. Pray to him. If you're not a Christian, you don't know God, get to know him. You don't just have to get to know him in this meeting, you can. But you get to know him yourself. You pray this Christmas. You begin to pray. You get on your knees, maybe for the first time in your life. Have you ever done that? Have you ever knelt before this king? These guys, these wise, wealthy guys, they got on their faces. He was only a baby, but that was enough for them. They got on their faces and worshipped. It says in the Bible that one day every knee, that's both of yours and mine, will bow. Not like a little, both knees down. Every knee will bow, every tongue, yours and mine. You're going to say this, so you can say it early if you want. Jesus Christ is Lord. You're going to say it. Either you'll be compelled to say it, or you can willingly say it now. But we'll say it because it's a fact. We'll bow our knees and we'll say, "Jesus Christ, your Lord." And you'll worship the Lord. Why don't you worship him now? Why don't you grate some incense of your own this year, this Christmas, instead of all the other things we worship that we shouldn't, like pleasure and sex and money and ourselves and celebrities and a lifestyle. You know, if you said to someone you worship food, they'd probably say, "No, I don't think I do." If you said to someone you worship sex, some would dare to admit that, but others would say, "No, I don't think I do." But if you said, listen, if you said to 75, 80% of the people out there in our culture today, you worship that lifestyle that has all of that in it. You get the whole package, the world package, with sex, immoral sex, and the nights out, and the drink, and the car, and the money, that whole image of what you think, the materialistic, humanistic life, you worship that. If they had any ounce of honesty, they'd say, "Yeah, that's what I live for. That's what I worship." If you do tonight, you need to repent. You're worshiping the wrong thing. It'll never satisfy. Because as much as the devil puts in that package, it isn't God. None of it adds up to God. You were made to worship God. And only God can fill your soul and satisfy your life. Only him. Only this God, Jesus Christ, God with skin on. He's the Lord. And lastly, and you know what? Most importantly for us, far more important than the other two actually, for us, is this. Jesus, not only is he God, not only is he the king, the rightful king of the earth, he's also the saviour. Jesus was given myrrh. And myrrh was used for one thing and one thing only, for burial. I mean, imagine that. Can you imagine going out to see your friend as you just had a little baby? Other people have brought pink balloons. And you bring, a few vouchers for Ralph. Not a nice thought, is it? That's what Jesus got. That's what Jesus got when he was born. That's what Mary got. It was meant to say something to her. I think it did. The angel had already said, a sword's going to pierce your own soul too. Or the prophet was going to say that to him, wasn't he? Or might have said it. But by that time, the thing about myrrh was that it was a liquid balm, very expensive, that you wrapped the bodies with. The Jews didn't embalm. They didn't do what the Egyptians did. They didn't empty the body and do all the stuff that we do today to preserve the body. They didn't do that. They left everything in the body. They didn't take anything out, but they did wrap it up very tightly with pounds and pounds of expensive ointment, and this was that. This little baby had come to die, and in just 33 short, perfect years, he was ready to do that. As a perfect, sinless man, this baby had come for the express purpose of sacrificing its life so that we could be forgiven, shedding its blood so that we could be forgiven. Because that perfect life that Jesus lived had to be sacrificed. You know, the life of Jesus doesn't save you. You know that, don't you? Jesus lived a perfect life, but he wouldn't save me. Because I haven't. The teaching of Jesus is marvelous. Wouldn't save me. Because I can't live it. It's the death, the blood of Jesus that saves you. Only the blood of Jesus. That baby's blood had to be sacrificed. Jesus had to willingly go to the cross and die. Only the death, the blood of Jesus, saves us. What a king. What a savior. What a God. What kind of king is this? You know, in all the movies where you see kings, they're always the ones who are protected in battle. Haven't you noticed that? Oh, not you, sire. You wait here. We will go and die for you. This king dies for us. This king says to his troops, you wait here. I don't want you getting involved in this one. I'll ride into them all. What? What type of king is this? Well, a different kind. You sit back here. I'm going to ride into it all. Hell and death and Satan and the lot of it. On my own. You wait here. Why? Because you can't handle it. What a king. Leads from the front. Different type of king. Enables us to be delivered and forgiven and saved from all our sin. We've sinned and we need forgiveness. And we need the blood of Jesus. You do. You need forgiveness like you need nothing else. I know some people have cancer here tonight and we're going to pray about that. And what a wonderful gift from Jesus it will be if that cancer disappears. And why shouldn't it? Why shouldn't it? We see that. We've seen that. Pete Conroy's dad had cancer on his testicles. Some of you know Pete Conroy, an older man, embarrassed, wouldn't tell us. We had a healing meeting. We prayed for people. And he never even said, because he was embarrassed about it. Understandable, older guy. Didn't want to mention it. But he knew he was ill. We held hands in a circle. Had a simple prayer. Jesus, heal the sick. He went to bed that night. Got up the next morning, pulled back the covers, gone. Healed. When we did the James Finnegan Hall, which is where Phil came to Christ, I've told you this several times, I'm telling you again because faith comes through hearing, and I want you to believe that the cancer in this room tonight is going to be healed. I want you to believe it. I want us to believe it together. Because faith allows the power of God to move. A woman comes into the meeting. The second time she'd had breast cancer, she already had breast cancer once, had it removed, had such a bad time that she'd said to herself, if I ever get it back, I'm just going to die. And it came back, and she had it for a few months. She had a large, painful lump, which she hadn't even told her husband, she hadn't even been to the doctor, because she just couldn't face going through it all again. She came into a meeting, she never even came forward for prayer. We just stood. Someone prayed from the front, a blanket prayer, Lord, heal. And we prayed against these things, commanded them to go. And not later, right there and then, she stood up after the prayer to sing the next song, lifted her arms, no lump. She felt for it, gone. Came forward at the end of the meeting, weeping, went home to just make sure, felt around for it, it was gone, completely gone. Pain gone, lump gone. Comes back the next week, sobbing with joy. Healed. Jesus is bigger than cancer. He is. The big C word is called Christ. And that C can cancel the other C. Hallelujah. Jesus came. That awesome little baby came to grow and become our mighty King, our awesome God, and our amazing Savior. He forgives, He heals, He delivers, He saves. Amen. Do you need forgiveness tonight? I'm going to pray for you first. I think it's the most important thing. It is. We could jump into cancer, but do you know something? If you know Jesus, you don't have to be afraid of anything. Because we're all going to die one day, but he's freed us from that. We're coming back, and we're going to live forever with him. But if you don't know Jesus, if you aren't born again, if you're not forgiven, then you're in real danger. Because your eternal destiny is at stake. I don't want that. Why should you go through another Christmas not knowing? You need to know you're right with God and that you're going to heaven. Every one of you, you need to know that. If you don't know that tonight, it's your privilege to know it. You're hearing tonight what people would die to hear, I'm telling you. What some people have never heard. That Jesus loves you and wants to forgive you and give you a new life right now. Forgive you. Wash away every sin you've ever committed. And change your heart and set you free. Do a miracle in your life. Awesome. Awesome. But you must bow to his lordship. You must. You must believe that he's God. You must believe that he died for you and for your sins. And connect to that by a simple prayer of faith. Let's pray that prayer now. If you want to pray this prayer, then you pray it in your heart as I pray it. I'm going to pray it slow so you can say it after me in your own heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth to save me, to give me hope and life, to forgive me for my sins, and to bring me in to heaven and into the kingdom of God now. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong. I reach out to you now for forgiveness, for salvation. And ask you to give me that gift that you came to give. You know, Jesus was given those three gifts so that he could give you one. And this is the gift he wants to give you tonight. Open your heart and receive it. You receive it by faith. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness. And some of you are Christians and you need to get back right with God. You have a chance. You don't have to be the man you've been. You don't have to be that woman. You can be someone else. You can live a new life tonight. You can. God loves you. Lord, we just thank you so much. Let's worship him. We're going to sing one song, not very long, and then we're going to pray for cancer, and then we've got some other words of knowledge for people, and then we'll call it a night. We don't want to keep you, but just keep focused on Jesus.